Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Heard around the world on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grunin.
Hello, welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue, alongside me is the world famous Joe Grande, and you're now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show on the planet.
Thank you guys all for listening to our podcast all around the world. Make sure you check out our website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis, with so many great articles and blogs on there for you to read and enjoy. And make sure you give us a call anytime, 1-800-420-1980. Go check out the IG pages for some fun content, good content, and all of the above at Cannabis Talk 101. Blue is at the number one, Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And I am at Joe Grande 52. And I got to tell you guys about CaliFX's full and broad spectrum hemp extracted products. They contain CBD, CBG, and some 1,300 other elements that are naturally derived substances from the hemp and plant. Check out the tinctures, water topicals, and vape collections. Go feel the effects with CaliFX. Check out the site, CaliFX.com.
Yeah.
Our guest today, man, these guys, and there's two of them. They're both Brians, but Brian Buckley, who's been our brother from another mother forever.
And what of is course, up?
We thank you, Brian, for coming back into the rooms from the Hellman Valley Growers Company.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You bring a gentleman with you that it's so funny because in my book with you, you don't just give props to dudes that, to anybody, period. You're not the guy to like, oh, this guy's a badass or this and that. And in my book, like I've told people, if you have never heard the podcast when I first sat down with Brian Buckley Blue, you missed that podcast because I'll never forget it because it stood out in my head so much.
That's
when I fell in love with this man.
Yeah,
I literally fell in love with Brian Buckley, literally. And I have him in my phone as badass. And now Brian brings a guy that he's claiming to be a badass. So when your badass tells you this guy's a badass, that's what it's like, folks. You know what I'm saying? So like imagine Spider-Man, if Spider-Man's your hero or Superman's your hero, and they go, no, this guy's the guy.
Well, mine was Ice Cube from Boys in the Hood. But yeah.
Exactly. So if Ice Cube says like, hey, I got
same
a guy for you, like that's who's here for this. Yeah. And so for me, when Brian Buckley goes, Joe, we got to get Brian Jacklin in here. I'm like, why? He's like, he served 20 years in the USMC, infantry, recon. He's a specialist operations with the Marine Raiders, which he was a Marine Raider as well. Was awarded the Navy Cross, right? Which is one medal behind the Medal of Honor. Which, that alone, dude, is just as crazy as it gets right there, right? So imagine somebody getting the biggest trophy in Hollywood and our runner-up of this, or the, you know, the one right next to it, whatever, right? You're just one right behind. So that's in war right there. For extraordinary heroisms, During operations in the Helmand Province, I read the story. I want you to tell the story because that story is fucking crazy that you went through in Afghanistan. When I read that story, by the way, it gave me chills, dog, to just know what you were going through. And I almost want to, we'll get to it. I want to pick your brain about that. But Brian is working on a nonprofit, which is Battle Brothers Foundation, and learning more about the cannabis space, working with the Helmand Valley Growers Company. And, of course, our guy Brian Buckley brought him here. You can check out the website, hvgccompany.com. On Instagram, Brian Jacklin is at bjacklin72. That's B-J-A-C-K-L-I-N-72. Let's give it up, you guys, for these two veterans for what they've done for our country and how they say or serve the Navy in our Marine Raiders.
Yeah.
Brian Jacklin. Thank you. Or did I miss anything else, Brian Buckley, that you want to introduce him as? Anything
well,
else?
I think one thing that would be really interesting to talk about is the time I beat him in a fight. So okay. That's a really this great guy. Story. Well, I mean, it happened. It's reality. Basically, it showed up at a 1st Raider Battalion. It was like a jailhouse, right?
We're ready to get
into
this.
Getting ready to go into CQB, like our weapons and tactics phase. And we're doing this thing called ramming, where we had to put our hands behind our back and go head-to-head and start pushing each other around. So I'm like, listen, I need to find the biggest guy.
Core strength and body strength
exactly.
And whatever, everything.
So it's like, you know, the jailhouse, right? You got to go after the biggest guy to kind of make your point. So I'm like, you and me, let's go. And he's like, all right, you want some of this? And I'm like, all
day.
Did
you know his name was Brian at the time, too?
No, I didn't really care at that point. He was just
typical white boy.
Just,
name.
Brian and Brian going at it.
The B's and B's going after that one.
Let's go back to that then. How did you guys meet? Was that how you met?
Pretty much.
I remember it kind of differently. So, first time we met was on a we're grading a training exercise for Marine Special Operations, and we're done with all the actual work. Which anyone who's been in the military out there knows that when you get done with the work, you start the party. Mm. And so we started the party, and next thing I know, Brian's drawing mustaches on somebody who's passed out. He thinks it's funny. I think it's funny. We're running around, and then I find out he's a captain. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's in charge of us?
Yeah.
But
it was a good morale boost, right? The guy needed a mustache.
He's a man of the people.
So when you did meet him, you realized, okay, this guy's in charge of us, and then, oh, no, was it good? Was it bad? How was he as a leader?
No, he's fantastic. We've known each other for,
over 10 years now.
Yeah, over 10 years. The thing about Brian, what I respected about his leadership was that he's a common sense guy. You know, like we all know when we come into work, we put our uniforms on, we put our ranks on, and we call each other by our ranks. But outside of work, it's just Buck. And everyone knew him as Buck, and he knew me as Jack or B-Jack or whatever he called me. But when we come to work, we strap it on. And that's kind of like I'd say the difference with special operations, how we work is like, you have a higher level of guy or a guy that's been around longer, has a little bit more professionalism in terms of, just common sense seniority.
He knows how to draw better mustaches.
Mm. I take great pride in that, actually. So thank you.
But I think what you're saying is on the field, he's the supervisor. Off the field, he's your bro.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Which is awesome because I'm sure that a lot of your, sergeants, lieutenants, or, people don't even hang out with you. Or if they do, they just make sure that you know that the whole time they're that level of, which I could respect. Hey, we're at work. I think that we don't treat each other outside of work, unless it has to pertain to work all of a sudden, like, hey, follow my lead,
Yep.
But if it's not, then you be normal. And I like that. That shows a lot of character about you, B.
Absolutely. Well,
Buck.
The thing is, I came from the infantry. I was a regular infantryman when I came in the Marine Corps. And, a captain in the Marine Corps, when you're like a private to a corporal, sergeant, whatever, he's like two steps under Jesus Christ. You just stay the fuck away from him because nothing good comes from guys with bars on their shoulders except working parties. And, they'll task you out if they find you. So, we used to use a term when I was a grunt called like skate, seek cover, keep out of plain view. Avoid all higher-ups, take no initiative, and escape and evade if necessary. Yeah. We're just young guys just trying to get by in the Marine Corps. But then, the Marine Special Operations really teaches, that camaraderie, the professionalism, and that camaraderie that we have between he and I, it transpires to, to the battlefield where, I back him up and he backs us up. We trust each other. Which when you're working in these small teams and, severely austere environments with little to no... it's 10 guys and like 90 Afghans, and you're going into like the hornet's nest, and really the only guys you could count on is your Marine brothers to your left and right, and other U.S. servicemen as well that were out there supporting us, but we live and die together, and I just to this day, I still trust we keep in constant contact. And, you know, it doesn't end when you leave the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Right. No, it's a brotherhood for life.
Absolutely.
Well, and not only a brotherhood, but you guys are a unique brotherhood, the Marine Raiders. How did you find out, Brian, about the Marine Raiders? Because a lot of people, we just had on another podcast, a gentleman that was training with Navy SEALs and this and that. And for those who are just listening to this for the first time, A, how did you find out about it? And what is the difference between you guys and a Navy SEAL?
Well, Navy SEALs and the Navy has the SEALs, Marines have the Raiders, Army has Green Berets, Air Force has CCT and Pararescue. We're considered white soft. We're like tier three soft. You know, tier two would be like, say, Army Rangers who are in direct support of a tier one asset, being like, you know,
the president,
like CAG or Team Six,
like Delta, or Team Six.
Okay.
So, you know, we're tier three, but that doesn't mean we're not getting out there and getting after it. I mean, the majority of the special operations are tier three guys.
Right.
And they started MARSOC in 2006. Donald Rumsfeld said, I want a special operations component to the Marine Corps, which that had been offered years before. But the Marine Corps, being the Marine Corps, is like, we're already special operations. Every Marine is a special operations guy, which is, you know, not true. So when I came in the Marine Corps, I came in as an infantryman. I was an 0311, and about halfway through my school of infantry, they told me I was going to be an 0313. I'm like, well, what is that? And they're like, oh, you're going to drive those like armored vehicles out there that you see rolling around. I'm like, I don't want to do that. They're like, I don't care what you want to do. Like, you're in the Marine Corps.
You just do what we tell you, boy.
I mean, they use more choice language, but like, we don't care what you think. You're going to do this.
Right.
So I went to the grunts, and you know, it was very, you know, the grunts is good. The Marine Corps is effective because they have guys that, you know, if you get an order, you just execute it faithfully. That's how the Marine Corps has remained the top of the military spectrum across the world. But for me, I attuned it to like eating soup with a fork. You know, if I was like, hey, Blue, here's a bowl of soup. Why don't you go ahead and eat that soup? Yeah. Here's a fork for you.
It's not working.
But I got a spoon in my pocket. I'm like, I don't care if you got a spoon in your pocket. You eat it with a fork like I told you.
Yeah, enjoy it. Yeah.
Would people fuck with you more because you're such a big dude? You're about, what, 6'5", 280? I mean, you're a good-sized dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely took a lot of shit for being a big guy. Especially, you know, when – but again, that's a military bearing, like as a – young Marine, I got a sergeant screaming up at me, you know, like a 5'4" sergeant, like chewing my ass.
A little Brian Buckley looking up at you.
Oh, come on, man. I'm 5'10". I'm 5'4". What the fuck, man? I mean, I work for that.
This guy's a lot bigger than you.
Well, I wear lifts. I mean,
hey,
it's fine.
The great thing is, I got the stripes, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you got to
listen
to me no matter what.
At the end of the day.
5'2.5".
Yeah, when he puts his boots on, I think he has the insoles in him.
I do.
What'd you say down there, Brian? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Hi. So, that guy. Yeah.
So when I was in Iraq, I came in at the tail end of the invasion 03. We're down in southern Iraq. I was with the Marine Expeditionary Unit. I was with First Line Armored Reconnaissance at the time. And I saw all these guys, and they had like long hair and tattoos, and you know, they're jacked, and they had like all the cool guns that I, you know, wanted to have in my life. And I was like, who are those guys? Like, those are recon guys. Don't go talk to them though. I was like, well, I'm gonna go talk to them. Of course. So I go over like a puppy. I was like, hey, like, how do I get over here? And they're like, get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. But I was persistent. I was like, I want to come in. I want to go recon. And finally, they gave me my shot. And so me and another one of my buddies, this guy Josh Negron, we tried out together. You know, I don't know, like 85 guys classed up. 8 of us made it. And
Josh,
85. You said Josh Negron?
Negron, yeah.
Yeah, that's my family name. That's my.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Negron?
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
wow.
We call him Negronescence now.
Yeah. Is he Puerto Rican?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably a Puerto Rican cat, right?
Yeah.
How hard was it? Obviously, 8 out of 88 something passed. I mean, was it just one of the hardest things you ever had to do?
Absolutely. I mean, back in those days, there was a lot less oversight in like the physical training regiments they gave us. So
they do a lot of cookie cutting. Everyone's watching now.
Everyone has
emotions.
Yes.
Even the Navy guys.
Well, especially the Navy guys. I mean, that's why I always say, like, what's the difference between you and the SEALs? I'm like, we're the same, but we're naturally better looking. I mean, hello.
Hello.
One of our big requirements as a Raider, you know?
But now everybody's sensitive. Now,
yes.
Right?
There was no like stress cards or getting triggered back then. It was like, you know, you're
stress cards, yes.
Getting triggered.
They have stress cards now?
Yeah, they're just like, hey, attrition is the mission. If you're still here at the end, maybe we'll let you in. So So I went there and I gave it everything I had, and luckily I was fortunate enough to make it. And then I went into the teams, and you know, it's like starting all over again. When you get to the infantry or whatever unit in the Marine Corps, you come in, you're like, hey guys, oh, all right, we're all Marines, right? Yeah, cool. And they're like, no, shut up, boot. Like, you're a new guy. You're taking out the trash.
Rookie year again.
Yeah, it's like being a probie, you know? Right. You're just getting fucked with nonstop.
Just like Diego, our new intern. Shut up, Diego, it's your first day.
You boot.
Yeah, boot. Give me some more water for these guys. Yeah.
I don't know why you're smiling, Diego.
Yeah, Diego,
be seen, not heard, right?
Yeah, you better secure that.
He's still in your first week. It's going to be his first month.
Secure that smile.
So finally I was corporal in the Marine Corps, and that's a big deal when you're in the Marine Corps is making E4 or corporals, because you're finally like officially in charge of people. And then when I went to recon, I was like, all right, finally I made recon. They're like, shut up and tape the wires down the floor, take out the trash, like don't speak unless spoken to.
Learn. And you already made it, so to speak.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I just went through like hell and back to like get here, and
I almost killed myself trying to be one of you guys.
I'm not a boot no more.
I mean, but I think I went into recon training. I was like 240 pounds. I was 6'4", 240. I came out, I was like 210, and I was like skinny fat, you know, because you're just running everywhere. You're not really, your nutrition level at that time wasn't really good. You're stuffing whatever you could in your face with the 5 minutes they gave you to eat chow before you had like the next training evolution. So, it was hard, but I'm glad I did it, because what I did in that time really set the stage for the rest of my life. You know, the recon creed, you know, like the ethos that the Marine Reconnaissance Community teaches you as an operator. Yeah, it transpires to anything in life, you know, and it's about dedication. It's about showing up and showing up ready to go. Whatever it is you're doing, whether it's business or your family, you know, you do what you say you're going to do, and you never quit. Like, to quit is to surrender and fail, and you can't do that. And so, you know, moving forward in the MARSOC times, you know, when 2006 came and Donald Rumsfeld said, hey, I want to stand up a special operations component of the Marine Corps, they were like, well, with who? You know, we have to put boots on the deck to stand up this unit. And so they said, okay, we're going to do like an NFL draft of all the recon guys, and we're going to stand up MARSOC. And again, luckily I had some senior guys who had taken notice of me and said, I want him over there. So they pulled me into the, I did come in the initial wave. I came in the second wave. I came in 2007 to MARSOC. And once I got there, I mean, it was just like a whole new world opened up, because the Marine Corps is notoriously good at doing more with less. I mean, they just like, you don't have a lot of money in the Marine Corps. You got to make good with what you got. And then you come into like SOCOM, and you have this wide array of schools and gear and just money thrown at you to make you the best to operate at that level. And so I show up, and they're like, hey, like, you want, like, here's these knives, and here's like a ghillie suit, and here's all of this like cool guy gear. And oh, by the way, you're gonna, like, we're just gonna school you up, meaning that we're gonna send you to, like, you know, Joint Terminal Attack Control Course, or we're sending you to sniper school, and we're sending you like boom, 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 just down the road, you know, down the line. And so the way the deployments goes, you have a 2-year rotation. You go 6 months on deployment, you have 18 months back. The first 6 months you have back is used strictly for schools and enhancement of your capabilities, and they max you out. I mean, after my first marriage, I'm on my third marriage now, because I'm a romantic.
Yeah.
I know the feeling. Yeah, yeah.
Me too, maybe.
Yeah.
We really do know the feeling. Yeah.
We call those the dash two in the military.
We're still feeling it right now, in fact.
Yeah.
Are the cops coming here today?
No. I feel it every month on the 1st and the 15th. Child support payments go out. Yeah. You know? but it was a great time, because, you know, we're in an active war with Iraq and Afghanistan. They're really putting a lot of time and money into every one of the guys to make sure we're operating at the best. And everyone knew that the stakes, you know, you knew that this is serious. Like, if you go over there and if you screw up, it's your life or it's your legs, or, you know, like, you're going to get hurt, or you're going to get someone else hurt, which is even worse, right? If I get killed and it's my own fault, whatever. But if I get him killed, then I got to live with that. And, yeah. I'm not cool with that.
Sure.
That part's got to be the craziest part about it, what you guys done.
You know, there's something there when you think about, you know, someone having your back. And we were talking to a firefighter a couple shows ago, and he's just like, you know, when I go into a flame, you know, I might be the first guy in, but I know water's coming in 35, 45 seconds. They told me you got 1 minute, whatever. I'm in there for 1 minute. I know that the water's coming in 1 minute, you know.
Yeah.
And he said a lot of times, you know, you might have a fight with that guy because you're arguing with him inside your, you know, at your home, or you guys go to a bar together and then you're pissed off at each other. But when you go into combat or you go into that fire, You know, yeah. You got to know they have your back. And that's, I think, what the military, you know, has taught you guys.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we were talking about this recently, like how simple, like, combat was for us. And everyone kind of looks at us weird. But it's like, it's watching that thing, The Last Dance, with about the Chicago Bulls. Loved and they it. Talked about how, like, Michael Jordan achieved, like, Zen Buddhism that Phil Jackson was trying to put down. And they're like, that was his magic that he had. It wasn't his talent. Michael Jordan's walking down the hallway. He's thinking about, I'm just in the hallway. I'm walking down here. Like, he would look at people like, why would I psych myself out about a shot I never took?
Right.
And the thing with the military, where we're in combat, it doesn't matter what's going on back in America or anything like that. You got that all taken care of. You're just focused on the now. I mean, it's like, fine, if some tax collector's coming after me, here's my 10-digit grid. Come get me and watch where you step, because you might blow up or something like that.
Right.
You're just in the moment dealing with it. It makes it so simplistic and almost like zen, like peaceful, because that's all you got to do. And there is like some morbidity to it and all that stuff, but you're just like, hey, we got a job to do. We're all professionals. Let's go out and get it. And it's just a really kind of peaceful area. And that's what we try to teach people, like, working. Just focus on the now, where you are. Be present. Don't worry about the other outside bullshit, which is really hard to do.
It's really hard.
I say it all the time, is stay on the path.
Yeah.
Dude, stay on the fucking path.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people,
guys have to do that. Yeah. You
ask someone that hit a pole, right? And they're like, well, how do you know I hit a pole? It's the last thing I saw. Right, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So what you're telling me is that you were looking at the pole,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Because you weren't, you know, you didn't just hit the pole and knock out, you know, you were looking at the pole and that's where your car went. And usually it's due to drunk driving or something like that. But I think, you know, so many people in business, you know, and this relates in life. We're going down this path, and you could ask like a professional skier, dirt bike riders, race car drivers, you know, all of them. You don't take your head off the path.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you take that one quick boom, you crash, and you can die. And at that speed, you know, you can die. But a lot of people, you know, are so conscious of like, oh, look at the shiny object over here, that they don't ever excel. Their business never really grows.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you have to be on that path. And I think that's a brilliant thing. Now, real quick, I want to ask you, you know, Brian, not Buckley, but Brian Jackson?
Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Jacqueline. Take us down a journey, you know, when you were in the Corps and, you know, you've seen some, like, you know, some crazy something that,
well,
you know,
how he
you
got the share. Navy Cross.
Yeah.
That Navy Cross, this is the biggest award you could damn near get.
That's the story.
The Purple Heart.
when we come back from this break, it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back.
Okay. We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Live the life you crave, you guys. Rise above ordinary weekend plans with Elevation Nation's membership. You'll gain access to exclusive events, entertainment, adventures, and wellness, exclusive parties, and everything else. ElevationsNations.com is the website to learn more. We really need to hook up these guys with them. And like go to, because this is a hotel that caters for.
You guys
want
to go
smoke.
You guys should go to Arizona.
Yes, I would love to. I've been hearing about this hotel.
We're
so.
Leaving. Yeah, we actually did a 3-year partnership with them. We're actually
nice.
And so, but this Thursday, we're heading to Arizona, and then
Super Bowl weekend.
Friday,
Well,
Friday we have an event at.
I call both Bryans in my room though. I want them. The twin bed and me.
Oh, you know how to treat a lady.
Exactly. I want the Brian submarine sandwich, please. Yeah. Order one up for me.
No problem.
I get the Marines.
Be
give me those Marine Raiders. Yeah. We went to break.
For.
Blue asked a good story, and we want the big story, which I read some of, and I know Blue didn't get the chance to read it, but you're one ranking away from the Medal of Honor, the Navy Cross. You received that. Explain to the listeners what that was and how you received that.
Well, I mean, to start off, I mean, you get those kind of awards when everything goes wrong. You know, like, I don't know how many times we've gone out on missions, everything goes flawlessly. You know, we eliminate all the enemy and that we have to eliminate, bring everyone back home safely. And it's just, hey, good job. You know, go get some chow, get your gear ready, you know, get back in. Let's start planning the next one. It's when everything goes wrong that people take notice. And then, you know, these awards come out. And I would give it back in a heartbeat if it meant that, you know, the things that happened that day didn't happen. Because what the end state of it is, you know, my my captain, my team commander, Derek Herrera, he's now paralyzed from the waist down. Mm. And another guy, Ricky Breer, was shot through the neck. And, you know, he's good now. It's like the $1 million wound.
Yeah. Took one in the neck and he's good.
Yeah. So
it's wild.
I mean, the story, we were at a village stability platform in the Helmand Valley, and we were going out. We had word that the enemy was you're moving north to south along the eastern side of the Helmand River.
Was it in Iraq?
Afghanistan,
okay.
Yeah. So we coordinated with a Green Beret team who was, you know, down to our south, and we coordinated an ambush. We were going to take the northern position, and they were going to take, you know, the south and to the east. And, you know, the river's to the west. Anyways, you get it. Like, we're boxing these guys in, and we're gonna take them out when they come through. So we move out by night, and I mean, the mud over there, I mean, it's like, we call it peanut butter mud. I mean, this mud's up to your nuts, and you're having to like walk with 80-100 pounds of gear plus, through the mud, you know, for kilometers to get where you're going. So by the time you get there, you're smoked. We hardened a compound being it's like a bunch of mud. It's a couple mud buildings surrounded by a big mud wall. Probably been there since the days of Alexander the Great. So we go and we take our position, and in the morning, the Green Berets were moving into, really to go hold our southern and our eastern flank and set an ambush on these guys. They hit an IED. So they hit an IED, it killed a couple of their Afghan counterparts, and then their Afghans didn't want to play anymore. They said, hey, we're done with this. You know, the Afghans refused to go. Well, by law, by the rules, we're required to operate over there. If you don't have a partner nation force, you can't leave the wire. You can't leave your base. So they had to go back. So now we're alone and unafraid. And yeah, we're 2 kilometers out from where, two kilometers, 2,000 meters away from our main base where we were at. But it might as well have been 20 miles because, like, when the sun comes up, we turn into pumpkins. You know, if you move across these open terrain features where we were at, I mean, you're just going to get in all kinds of shit.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah, so we diversified our positions. We put a couple supplementary positions in there to kind of form a triangle to defend ourselves against any, the onslaught that was about to come. And then, the Afghans knew that we were out there. The Taliban knew that we were out. They started sending probes, and finally they started getting closer. And at some point, you got to take action. You know, we're trying to hide out from them. They got too close, so we smoked a couple of their guys, and then the game's on.
Right.
And, I was up on a rooftop, and the captain said, hey, I want you to, you know, jump down here, man the radio. I want to go up on the roof and take a look. So he jumps up there with Breer, and, they're identifying where some enemies are moving around us to envelop our position. And, it just so happens, like, Taliban started, you know, they identified where we were, and they just shot an onslaught of bullets through their AK-47s. And one of the bullets went through Breer's neck and into the captain's back. So now we got two guys down. You know, both
where you had just been.
Where I just been, yeah.
He asked you to take
literally probably like 30 seconds before that. I hopped off the roof, and then we call it the popcorn machine, because when the bullets come close to you, they snap. You know, so the snap crackle pop like the bullets coming in started happening, and then you know, I'm calling the troops in contact over the radio, and I hadn't realized that our guys had been hit, and then you know the other guys with the team identified it, and now you know it's. You know, it's a very serious situation. So they pulled them off the roof.
Well, it was a serious situation before they got hit. Well,
when he says those words like troops in contact, that's like a really powerful meaning over the radio. That means we are pinned down and we're about to be overran. So every free aircraft in Afghanistan will just turn and boogie to your area to help you guys out, because you're basically saying like broken arrow, we're going down.
Yeah, we got we're
mayday, mayday.
We're pinned. Yep. We're pinned.
Yeah, it's a bad.
We just got some hit. It's a bad day. Something going down.
Captain shot. Yeah. So what happens next?
So the guys are administering aid to the captain and Sergeant Breer, and we start making a plan. But you got to understand now the gig is up. They know where we're at and they've encircled us. So the only feasible landing zone was immediately to our east. In this open field, there's one doorway in and out of the compound, but surely they got machine guns on that doorway, you know, waiting for us to come out of it and gun us down. So once we had aircraft on station, and I called in the casualty evacuation over satellite communications. Birds are inbound to pick us up, and they got a Cobra, a four-ship, two Cobra helicopters and two Huey helicopters to give the gunship support to these helicopters. They call us there, you know, 5 minutes out, so we start making our plans. We put a wall charge, so we make these charges that will blow down these mud walls. Put a wall charge on the wall to make our own door, because, you know, now we're using a little bit of deception. So we got our smoke grenades out.
Wow.
But I tell you, like, one of the proudest moments in my career was that day at that time, not because of anything that I did, but because, like, you know, we had a huddle with all the guys that said, hey, look, this is a really bad situation, but... We got to make, like, I'm not cool with just sitting here. Cool. I'm not okay with letting these guys die here. We got to make a run for it, try and get them on the bird.
We got to carry them. Yeah.
Anyone have a problem with it? And to the last man. And we had one guy with us. It was his very first patrol ever. Yeah. He talking about
welcome
baptism of fire. You know. Yeah. So and everyone was like, it was like, fuck it, let's roll.
Yeah.
And that level of commitment and the stoicism with which they said it. It really is. I mean, it's still today gives me like chills to think about.
Oh, hearing it gives me chills.
And so the birds are, you know, 2 minutes out. We blow the wall. I mean, smoke grenades out. So we're covering the LZ with smoke to, you know, obfuscate our movement out there. They're still going to shoot at the smoke, but they don't see. Hopefully, don't see us exactly where we're at. So they're just taking unaimed fire. You know,
just shooting into the wall. Whatever.
They're shooting into the smoke, hoping to hit us. Right. So we blow the wall, and we timed it to where as the helicopter's on final. We blow the wall. We go out, and you know, four of us were out there. You know, we're moving and shooting, laying down cover fire, and then the other guys were carrying stretchers, including our Afghans. They were holding the guys on stretchers too, and then running them out there. But yeah, you know, we just ran out into, you know, probably the craziest fire that I've ever experienced. And I mean, I've experienced a lot. And it was seriously I still to this day I have no idea how no one was hit. And my last order before we left was, well, two orders. I told my JTAC, like, type 3 control authorized all tree lines around us. Type 3 meaning, like, you're giving them the order to shoot these tree lines with machine guns with the helicopters, guns and rockets until they're I said type 3 control authorized until Winchester. So I gave him the order. And I told the guys, like, if you get hit on the way to the bird, get on the bird. We'll figure it out afterwards. You know, because we get one shot at this.
Don't stop.
If you get hit, we come back to the compound. Then I got to evac you after that. We're not going to get away with it twice.
Right.
So
you only get one shot.
So we go out there. We fight our way out to the LZ. And you know, and the helicopters are smashing.
What's LZ?
Landing zone.
Okay.
Landing zone for the helicopter. Then the helicopter gunships are they're literally just spraying everything they got on the tree lines around us to keep the enemy at bay while we're trying to get evac'd. The medevac platform, which is another set of two UH-1 Hueys, no, I'm sorry, Blackhawks, whatever they were, they actually got shot up coming in. Shot up so much they had to wave off. So we're out there, like, basically now we're just like, guys are like laying on top of our patients, you know, shielding them from the fire. We're just grabbing dirt and shooting and praying for the best. Helicopter swinging back around. They actually land, put the guys on the bird. It's somehow we fight our way back, get in the compound. We're all like running real low on ammo at this point because, I mean,
shooting like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every man went out with 10 mags, but you know, you got 5 mags on you and you got 5 mags in your day pack, which we left in the compound. So we like ran out, we blew all of our ammo on that and went back to the compound, jammed, you know, like basically restocked our mags expeditiously. And then the fight was on for the rest of the day. So the rest of the day, we're just, you know, taking indirect fire. I'm calling in linear sheaves, meaning like I'm given like a direction and a distance and on off a known point to call in artillery, not artillery, but mortar fire on these tree lines. So to understand Afghanistan, the Helmand Valley, it's like trench warfare. You have tree lines that are irrigation canals for the farming fields. And that's what the enemy moves through. Because if you move out in the open, we're just going to kill them, right? And same with them to us. So it's really like kind of trench warfare. So we're smashing these tree lines with mortar fire. I'm bringing in aircraft and hitting them, or my JTAC is. And it was like that all day. Ended up dropping a couple compounds, meaning like drop bombs on these compounds because they're lobbing underslung grenades off their AK-47s. They shoot a grenade, and it's coming into our compound and hitting inside. So it's only a matter of time till one of those things gets lucky. It takes hits with one of our guys. And now we're in the same situation we were just in, which we barely made it out of. Can't have that. So I get the authorization to drop the compounds. We drop them. But what happened was after we dropped those compounds, no one knew, including the Special Operations Task Force, that earlier that day, an agreement had been made with Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, that we weren't going to, the U.S. forces weren't going to blow up any more compounds in his country. So now, like, we've just violated, like, an international, like, strategic agreement with the U.S., wow. And
I'll die today.
I'll ask for forgiveness. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. Let's see, they're attacking us, and we need to get out of this situation,
right? Yeah, and then so following that, we fought it out all day, and at nighttime, during the day, they're like, hey, we want you to do a battle damage assessment. And what that means is, since we blew up these compounds, they're like, hey, make sure there's no civilians in those compounds. Like, I know there's no civilians in these compounds because this is my third tour over here. I know how it goes. When a firefight's about to happen, all the locals it's like a Western. They just run for the hills, and the only people left in the area are the guys who want to fight.
Yeah.
So, and we had, you know, ISR. We could see what the airplanes see, and we saw, like, the enemy fighters in the compounds with guns and everything, and there was no one else in there, no kids or anything. So we knew, I'm 100% confident there was no one in there that didn't need to die. But still, you know, politics being the way they are, someone has to go check that out. Yeah. So, but
knock. I mean, how do you fucking check that out?
No. Well, exactly.
Is anybody home?
Yeah. Is everyone okay? All right.
Yeah, just want to check. Just trying to do a test here. Well, fuck, do you do that?
Well, imagine my conversations, you know, with the different commanders. They're like, hey, we want a battle damage assessment of those compounds. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? There is no more compounds. It's just a pile of rubble. So you want me to go out there and like dig through the rubble and try and find bodies in the middle of a daytime when there's like enemy everywhere? Like, you're out of your fucking mind. It ain't happening.
It's not going down.
And shooting me on my way over.
Probably aggressively telling them, no, this ain't going down.
we had some I had some choice words and conversations, but you know, our commanders backed us up. They really did. Yeah. They backed us up, and just the military being what it is, a higher entity came in and said, like, no, you will do this. Actually, we're going to extract your team. We're going to put in a team of SEALs because we don't trust you now to do this battle damage assessment because you've been, you know, not wanting to do it. So they thought we were going to lie to them. So I sent in a group of SEALs out of Kandahar, completely different area of operations, different. It's like oil. I don't know, peanut butter and jelly, man. It's just not the same. You know, it's two different substances altogether. And these guys came in. Great guys, but me and my joint terminal attack troy, the guy who controls bombs to drop on the deck, who had the most situational awareness of all, where all the enemy were, like where their movements were, where we killed them, you know, everything has gone on. I made the call. I'm staying back. I'm gonna send my guys back. They're flying on helicopters. I put my guys on the birds at nighttime, you know, under cover of darkness. Send my guys back, and I'm gonna stay here with these SEALs because it's not right that these guys come into an area of operations that's not theirs.
They have
no idea what had happened that day with us. That, you know,
where the gunfire is coming from, where there's extra.
Well, just understand
at
the terrain. Yeah. I mean, literally, like, not to jump on your story, my team was supposed to come in and help them out. So he was doing what they call village stability platforms, where they're all bearded up, dressed in traditional dress, doing everything from setting up a well to local police force and kind of give them a chance to stand up on their feet and go fight. We were the commando team, so we would fly in the helicopters middle of the night and go after high-value individuals. So when all this is going on, we're tracking what's happened with Brian's team. we're at the hospital. We're with the team commander and Ricky and all that stuff. And I basically told my guys, like, hey, I got my cell phone. When they're ready for us, just give me a call. I'll meet you over at LZ Tombstone where we take off from. And we're going to go help those guys out. And they literally said, if you put Buckley's team in there, they're going to cover for Jacqueline because we know some shit happened in there. And it's like, you motherfuckers. And you sent in a SEAL team from Kandahar. The Hellman was a whole different playground.
Right.
And you just called.
If you
like,
knew it, you knew it. But yeah. If you don't come there and just all
I mean, I was talking to our ops chief, a Special Operations Task Force ops chief, and he's like, I'm literally on the phone with him trying to give him a data dump of what they're about to go into. And I talked to that SEAL team afterwards, and they're like, dude, that's what you guys fucking deal with every day? I'm like, that's the Hellman. They're like, Jesus, man. Wow. And that's where Dan Crenshaw, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, you know, he ate an IED and lost his eye.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, actually, Dan Crenshaw was one of the guys who SEALs that came out. I didn't know it was Dan Crenshaw at the time. I mean, he was just, you know, Lieutenant Crenshaw or whatever. But, you know, the SEAL, great guys. You know, they came in, gave him the data dump. I mean, I think me and this guy Dave, my JTAC, we hadn't slept in probably 72 hours plus. So it's like, all right, well, and they're like, hey, get on your necks. You know, like after we told them everything was going on, they came up with a game plan. And we went down on our necks. They wanted to take over a compound to, you know, to the east.
When you get on your neck, is that take a nap?
Yeah, take a nap, yeah.
I got you.
Sorry,
it's all good.
You got the slang.
I hear it. I know what you're saying.
I assume everything, but yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah.
I just want the listeners of like, get on your neck. What does that mean? Like, take a nap, okay.
So they wanted to take another compound to have an additional security position, give us some standoff from like the enemy fighters. You know, you want to always have multiple positions, like, you know, usually like a triangle. Because that way, if they breach your lines, you still have like, you know, an L shape on them. You hit them from different angles with your gunfire. So their aim was to do that. You know, they knew that those IEDs in the compounds, but they were taking steps with their EOD technicians, explosive ordnance disposal technicians, and such to mitigate that. And it just so happened that, you know, it didn't work. One of their Afghans stepped on a pressure plate, like on an IED. And it went off, and it wounded a couple of SEALs, and one of them was Dan Crenshaw. So now they're in the same situation that we were in the day before.
They need to get extracted out of there.
Yeah, and I mean, and those guys, I mean, to their credit, I mean, they fought their ass off, and they did like the best immediate action drill I've ever seen, and got their guy on the chopper, you guys on the chopper, and got out, and we fought it out the rest of the day, and then finally they sent the helicopters in for us and picked everyone up. I don't know if we ever did a BDA. I can't really remember.
What's BDA?
Battle damage assessment. Remember the compounds that started this whole mess?
Right. Yeah. You were supposed to be doing?
Yeah. They're like, hey, you know, check these compounds out. And then I think even the SEALs were like, yeah, they're out of. I don't understand why this is fucking ridiculous. And
like, how are we going to get there?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, spend, again,
is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, what are we going to? Is Bin Laden underneath that? I mean, what are we doing? You know,
like 150
meters. It's actually
meters.
Just putting you more at risk.
Exactly.
Hands down. Right.
You're literally just going back to go get shot at again, and say there's nothing over there. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
well, if there is anything over there, it's probably not something we want to like run into. There's either IEDs because there's like the Helmand Valley. There's just. I mean, there's IEDs that they've like recently placed in improvised explosive devices. They use like a pressure plate where you step on. Anyways, I'm not gonna get into detail.
Yeah.
You have different explosive devices there. Some that they put in recently, and some that they've been there just for years. Because like what happens is the guys will put an IED in, and then you'll kill that guy, and then no one else knows where it's at. So the Afghans, the Taliban hit them too all the time. You'd be sitting there eating chow. In between firefights, you hear like an explosion, like,
boom.
Well, that's none of our guys. And you hear them over, they always talk on these ICOM radios that are like unencrypted radios. And you hear them like, you know, screaming and requesting medical support, like, yeah, these dumb fuckers hit it.
They killed themselves.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great moment.
Like, welcome to the jungle. Welcome
you
to
love
the...
it. You're like, good.
Yeah. And, just like, yeah, welcome to the party, motherfucker.
Yep.
And that's how the name of the brand came, right?
So, yeah.
So that whole dance that you guys did there, that's the name of your company. And that's what you. Based everything off of, huh?
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, I mean, what made the Helmand Valley so big for the Taliban was because, remember, we're talking about the Helmand River Valley, and that's where they would throw the poppy, and they would cultivate into heroin, and then they would sell it and tax it, and it's how Taliban fueled their insurgency. So we were basically fighting opiates over there, and here we are now fighting against opiates that we're dealing with here in America that are killing our men and women that served our country.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Isn't that weird? Isn't it almost weird that you know, it's... what is used for recovery, if you will, you know? And I want to get into that after this break and I want to hear you guys' thought on the opioids, because again, you're over there fighting that war for it almost, and then but you really, you're here actually giving it to us. It's almost like weird
oxymoron.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
You guys, you got the first ever cannabis-friendly celebrity golf classic charity event attached to the Gridiron Greats, hosted by Jim McMahon at the Anthem Country Club in Scottsdale, Arizona, February 10th, 2023. Come and play with some of the biggest celebrities at one of the biggest events of the year. Join Revenant Fairchild Events and Cannabis Talk 101, as we'll be there, and everybody else is going to be there too, so you better come out there with us. Brian and Brian, I want you guys to come out. And, you know, to think that you're a 100% disabled veteran, I mean, of course you are. And to think that you use cannabis to help you, of course you do. Hearing your story, just imagine if that was real for us, right? Like Blue and I. Like, imagine Blue, right? Like, I'm trying just to imagine that. And my next question to trying to imagine that, as I know I want you to talk about opioids, is this. For both of you guys, Brian and Brian, is there anything in life that you've ever been through that's fucking crazier? Because that just sounds as crazy as life gets. Like, you're eating chow and you're fucking hearing a blow up. Boom, that's not us. And you giggle about it, Brian.
Yeah. It's like I said, going back to where we were, like, you're just in that moment. Like, we would even joke, like, we would be in the middle of, like, right by his village stability platform and another Marine Raider village stability platform. Taliban came and fought us. We beat the shit out of them. And then you saw them split.
And beat the shit out of them means kills them. Oh, not yeah. Like yeah. You punch somebody and gave them a black eye and the fucking referee stopped the fight.
Oh, no. We properly smoked these guys.
That's what I mean. As you listen to this. And as you, literally like and that's why I love talking to you, because like I've told you from the jump, when you describe things, eliminate and just beat them and this and that, folks, that means killed was his eliminate. Mm-hmm. When we destroyed them, that means dead.
Yeah. Remember they came up with a politically correct term for like clearing an area and killing all the bad guys. It's called kinetic shaping.
Yes.
Kinetic, you're like,
it read much better in Washington, D.C. They were out there doing kinetic shaping.
We're getting all snowflake here. Kinetic shaping. Let's just call it what it is. So I'm going to go in there and kill all these fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah. You put me to war. Let's go.
But and as you're there, that's to me the mentality you got to have. Like, if I'm with you guys, like, if we're in a problem on the streets, you got to fucking beat them up. Well, that's not killing them. You guys are in a situation where you have to kill them or they're going to kill me.
Yep. Well, ultimate competition.
It's definitely like a...
it's the ultimate.
Yep, that's it.
It's like a game of poker. Like, oh, I'll see your you know, your call and raise you. You know, like, they're shooting at us with AK-47s. I'm going to drop like an artillery strike on them. Like, I got something for you. You want to shoot at me with AK-47s? Cool, I'm going to drop a 500-pound bomb. And you know, laser guided, because we're America and that's what we do.
Yeah, we have.
But it's just business. You know, and that's the thing is, like, It's just business. Like, if you look at it,
right?
I mean, it is.
I agree with you. I agree.
It's real.
Because I do believe, like, if you let yourself get enthralled with like a hatred and stuff, like, don't make emotional decisions. How many emotional decisions have you ever made that were like correct? Yeah. You know, like, just approach it in a systematic fashion. Like, you're killing in a systematic fashion. Like, threat. What asset do I have? How long does that take to employ? How accurate is it going to be? Okay, A, B, C. Okay, I'm going with C. Boom, he's dead. Okay, next. And you just keep moving on.
Yeah,
and
then, like, you can't live in it.
Yeah, where am I at? Well, who's around me? What assets do I have? Who needs to know what? Who are we against? How do we kill them or capture them?
Just processing the problem
or capture. Yeah. Well, I think too, a big part of this is coming home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're coming home and you have to, there's a lot of guys that I even have in my own family. My uncle was a Beret and he would never come out of war mode. You know, he lived in Long Beach on the street because by choice, he didn't want to be in a home. He wanted to sleep in bushes and sleep in this thing.
Yeah.
He had his stomach blown off by a grenade thrown in the thing, and he was the first one to jump on it. It was a dud. Mm. Blew off his stomach, still on the dud. But his mindset was, you know, you come and see the family for a day and you know, probably smash on me or my brother or somebody just to have fun with everybody and then bail, you know.
Yeah.
And then he'd be gone for months at a time and
live on the streets. Huh?
But my thought process is why it's important to me too, is it's like you guys have been able to, you know, come out, and I'm not gonna say that it's all cherries and, you know, mm-hmm. peaches and cherries or whatever, you know, this mm-hmm. isn't sweet. I'm saying you guys are able to maintain a clear mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? I mean, can you?
At the table today, you are.
Yeah. No. I mean, we all come back with our demons.
Yeah.
And you don't escape your demons, but you got to learn to live above them. You know, and we all have them. It doesn't matter if you're a military, civilian, whatever it is. We all got our issues, right?
Yeah.
And we just got to be like, hey, what's going to make me better?
Yeah.
And if I go down that path, that ain't cool. That's going to wake up the demons. I'm going to have to deal with them. I go this path.
Yeah.
I'll fly above them.
Yeah, and I appreciate that for you guys. Again, first and foremost, thank you guys for being there and doing that for our country.
Yeah, your service is what allows us to do what we do.
It hits me at home, dude. I get it. You know, I get it. You know, I look at it kind of the same way you guys do. It's like, hey, we're there to do a job. It's business, and we got to keep moving. It's not a sweet, you know, glorified gig, but it is. Because you're saving our children, our women, our fucking homes, so it's dope.
Well, and I mean, a lot of people ask me still, like, well, what was the point? What?
No, you're good.
I said I'm tearing up.
Well, a lot of people ask me today, even still, like, well, what was the point of Afghanistan, Iraq? Like, I don't get into politics, but what I will say is this: is over the last 20 years of warfare, what's it done for our country? It's given us multiple generations of combat veterans. Look at the situation in Russia right now, in the Ukraine. Russia's getting their asses kicked because, you got tanks, you got all these infantry, you got airplanes, everything else, but you've never, it's like you have an all-star sports team. You never put them together on the field. You don't know how they're going to perform. So we've streamlined our operational procedures as a war-fighting country, and, you know, the military complex, the industrial complex has come together and built all this technology and everything behind us. America is still the number one superpower in the world. I don't care how much discord we have in our streets. Like, it's like we're like a dysfunctional family in America. Like, if we fight each other when there's no one else to fight. Right now, there's no one else to fight.
Yeah.
If someone nuked Hawaii, see how quickly the country would come together and fight.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, China, Russia, whatever, bring it. If that's what they want, then, like, let's give it
come
to
on
them.
Down.
Yeah, we don't have any near peers right now. I mean, that's what people need to realize. There's no one near us right now.
And the other leaders have to realize that by knowing what America has with the armed forces, right?
I mean, absolutely. And, you know, even
like
Joe, like,
we're playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on a tactical level, I mean, when you're ready to, like, smoke check these guys, I mean, that last second they look at you before you throw around in between the running lights, they just look at you like, fuck, you guys are good.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, God damn it.
Yeah,
no, here it comes.
Yeah, we got the.
Yep.
Dude, there's a very distinct thing that I can still remember. There's a very distinct thing that happens with someone's eyes when they realize that you're going to kill them. Like when you could see like a shift in their eyes, and those out there who've done it will know. It's like the when they realize that they're dead, it just you see a change in their eyes, and you know. But again,
and it's sad. I'm sorry.
No,
it's business. This is what you signed up for. And guess what, people listening? This is why you can listen to this podcast.
You know what I mean?
Of guys like this.
Yeah. Well, every generation, I mean, this democracy, I mean, it needs to be defended violently at times. And every generation kind of has to earn their stripes. And God, you know, we all have kids. they're going to face it eventually. Something's going to happen. You know, so, no one saw 9/11 happening, right? Yeah. And it did. Oh,
I'm going to tell my kids to join the Air Force.
Yeah, they're all going to Air Force, man. That's for sure.
And as we do this, and you have your cannabis company that you guys both have your HVGC, you know, company shirts and everything else. How did you, Brian, find cannabis when you come back? Did Brian Buckley go, hey, dude, I don't know if you're dealing with shit, but this cannabis has been helping me. I don't know if you're dealing with the same demons I'm dealing with, but, you know, I'm smoking this oil and now I'm selling it too. You want to jump in the game with me? Like, how does this come about to help you with your PTSD? Because I'm sure you deal with it.
Well, so for me, I mean, Brian's been had this company since 2016. I was still a Marine. When you're in the military, you can't do any drugs. You know, right. So I had to, like, kind of stay separate from it. And but you know, and I don't really feel like I have a lot of PTSD personally. Like I feel for guys who do, and I'm not downplaying their struggles. But for me, my problem is sleeping through the night. Like I'll go to sleep at 10, 11 o'clock at night, whatever, and then at midnight, 1 o'clock. Bing, you know, I'm wide awake
up all night,
and it's like, man, I got
that's
shit.
Not PTSD at all.
And I will say, like,
this motherfucker's like, what's up? Let's go
out the window.
Yeah, shit. He's out the fucking in the car driving around the neighborhood and shit. I don't have PTSD, Joe. No, really.
Nah. No, I mean, I'll have dreams where I'll like relive stuff, and you know, like, you'll wake me up in the night, and I'll wake up and I won't know where I'm at, and it kind of takes me a second. I'm like, oh, there's my wife, and you know, like I get, you know, the ceiling fans going, and I'm just like, what a trip, you know, okay. But now I'm wide awake, you know. So yeah. what I found, and personally, like, I don't really like the way I feel, like, when I don't smoke a lot of pot, right? Like, yeah. Like I do just enough, like, medicinally to go sleep through the night.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
So, right. Like, because if I was to sit here and smoke a joint with you guys, I would just paranoid. Turn into a Chinese schoolgirl, and I'd be completely useless to everybody. So, like, but at the end of the night, dude, if I take a couple hits of some indica, and, like, just enough to, like, okay, I feel good, I can sleep, and I sleep all the way through the night, and I wake up refreshed, and then I don't smoke again until the next night, you know, and that's that's just my thing. That's my treatment plan. Yeah. I don't do it. I don't smoke pot to get fucked up. You know, I smoke pot because I want the benefits.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And that's why I support what Brian's doing here, why I'm like, yeah, I mean, if there's anything I can do to help out, let's rock and roll, man.
You know, I find it's awesome because, you know, I think that you guys understand a brotherhood that's you know, much further than most people, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that, you know, I'll never get to experience. You know, I've experienced it actually in not on the same level, but in a street level where, you know, I've had my friends murdered and shot at and died next to me, like, holy shit, you know. But which is not normal either, by the way. But it's just something that I happen to see in my life.
Sure.
But, you know, I think something you guys did is much further than that. I mean, you guys are talking about, like, you guys signed up for this shit. You went out there. We all signed up for it. But you guys went out there daily and fought for our country, lived on someone else's soil. I mean, you know, and it's almost like I swear, you just explained a movie, you know, but you actually lived it. And so it's you guys now having this opportunity to bring out a product. One, you guys have a certain standard that you live by. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to mess each other around. This is, you know, you guys care about each other enough to know, like, hey, this guy was out there, you know, protecting my back when I called in support to come get me or to take me out of there or to bring me in or whatever. You guys have that bond and that brotherhood that's not really easily found.
Yeah.
This is, and trust me, it's taken me years to build this brotherhood with certain people in our camp, just to have them be like, yo, I trust you enough to see everything that's going on with this company. And I relate it to your business, to your family life. You know, you have your big life, you know, this is our big life. You know, we're on set right now, we're doing a show, you know, we're doing this. And then you have your small life. You know, your small life is probably the most important life. It's the one you go home to, your family, and all this and that. And it sounds like an oxymoron, but it is. It's your small life is so much more important, but every day you're doing this big life.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys probably, you know, complement each other well. Are you guys actually physically partners right now or just helping each other out? Or how's that working?
He's getting more involved with our nonprofit Battle Brothers Foundation. And literally it's like, hey, why don't you come out here for a month? Just live with me and just check out Canvas. So you kind of get a little bit more situational awareness of what we're doing. So, yeah, he's been down in San Diego. He's getting ready to fly back soon. But, you know,
he's kicking you out?
Oh, I would never kick him out. I'd love him to stay. It's like I had the safest house in America for a little while. But
I feel
bad
though. I sit in his house eating all his food, and I'm like, hey man.
Well, you eat all those pop brownies, and it's like he goes like werewolf mood.
I was just in Del Mar. I was just in Del Mar on Sunday for a soccer tournament. My son had a soccer tournament. He's gonna have another game on Sunday, but I'm gonna be in Arizona on Sunday too.
I'll let him stay in my extra room for free. Give him a couple guns and take over the house.
And like I said, just because, and the way he talks right now, right? The first interview I did with Brian, when Brian Buckley was describing everything, he is eliminating this, eliminating that. I was like, the way you talked, what you got to experience right now was the same stories I heard from Brian, and it's like so. The way you describe your job is so elegantly safe to make me feel like, oh my God, like how bad of an ass is this dude right there, right? To win the fucking medal that you won.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I want to point out for you listeners, this is what Hellman Valley Growers Company is about. So when you're looking at buying a cannabis product and smoking something or doing something, this is what's owned by Brian Buckley. And this is Brian Buckley bringing in this guy saying, hey,
Battle
come
Brothers,
help with the
baby.
Non-profit, this. And they go out and they give money for veterans and that. And that's why we've always supported him, and that's why I love him so much.
Well, don't you do a whole, you have a whole system?
Yeah, I mean, we literally have what they call an institutional review board, which falls under the FDA, which means we've been cleared to do human trials with medical cannabis to see if it reduces the symptoms of post-traumatic stress. We got Israeli doctors, we got UC Irvine with us. That's what United States Congress said to me, is like, if you get data in American doctors, you're gonna have a good argument. So we're just trying to fund our research so we can get that going. And if you want to help us out, go to battlebrothersfoundation.org and make a donation. Hellman Valley Growers Company product. Not only do you get a great product, like Joe was saying, but we take 100% of our profits and we donate that back to our veteran medical cannabis research. I have not taken a salary since I started this thing. That's how important this is. You hear about all the missions we talk about. This right here is the most important mission of my life, because during this whole entire time from 9/11 to now, we lost 7,070 men and women during the global war on terrorism. During that same period, we've lost nearly 31,000 men and women, active duty and reserve, and veterans to suicide. So essentially, being back here in America is more
Brian
dangerous.
Brian would know that answer, remember?
Yeah, for being back in the Helmand or Fallujah or anything like that, this is a more dangerous battlefield that we're on. Like I said, we bring back our demons, and sometimes they get our brothers and sisters, and I'm just not cool with that. We got to put an end to it.
Yeah. And Brian, what's the latest and greatest? Because we have conversations just on the weekends and bullshit time about you going to Washington and talking to legislature and this and that. Give us an update on what you got going on and what's been, you know, since our conversations.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, obviously we had an election midterms, and it took them a little while to get the Speaker of the House figured out. But I literally just talked to Representative Nancy Mace, who's a Republican in South Carolina, wrote a great bill called the State Reform Act. Just talked to her office yesterday. So we're helping out with a resolution that they're going to put together on the House floor, coinciding with the United Nations. And then once they kind of get things a little more settled, we want to kind of help out on terms of what we're doing with our research and share that information with them, because they're the ultimate, they're the legislators, they make the laws, and we need to get this thing knocked down. Deschedule it is a preferred. Schedule 3 would work. But with them, we want to get together and kind of move forward so we can get Hellman Valley Growers Company product with medical-backed data in the VA system, so that men and women can go see their VA doctors and get prescribed cannabis free of charge, and out the door they go. So we're still working with them, and there's a lot of good things. You know, guys like Dave Joyce out of Ohio, Barbara Lee out of Oakland, you got Nancy Mace out of South Carolina. I mean, we're Marines. My political party's America. I don't care about Republican, don't care about Democrat. We just have a mission to accomplish.
Amen.
So we're working with both of them, and things are starting to shake out now. We're going to be very aggressive with Congress in this next 2 years and see what we can do.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really intrigued me about what Brian had going on here is that, you know, if there's anyone who's going to listen to the efficacy of cannabis for treatment of PTSD, anxiety, sleep disorders, whatever,
that's good.
They're going to listen to veterans about it. Like both sides of the aisle, like whether you're Republican or Democrat, I'm with Brian, like, I don't really care. Keep out of my business. Let me keep my money. You know, stop taxing me. But it's like, you know, if there's anyone they're going to listen to, it's going to be government listens to government, and government knows how government works. You know, Brian did. He was an officer. Like, he knows how government works. You know, I had 20 years. I know how government works. And when I see, you know, I meet a lot of the people in the cannabis industry, and it just blows me away. It's like, you got so many great people in this industry, but it almost seems like they don't want to work together because it's yeah. still like
they don't know how it works.
Yeah, it's still
and it actually works when you work together.
Yeah, exactly.
Teamwork.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, talk about what you want to do. Let's really help each other and really hold each other accountable for the things that we need to get done.
And help the other person.
If we don't do it, if we don't do it, let's figure out how to do it. And that's okay too. But let's do it. Like,
and we should help each other.
And I try to tell people that shit. It's like, man, we really
plug each other's podcast. We sitting here going, "What's your podcast? What's this and that?" Like, we try to help folks out no matter what.
Everyone.
That's what we do.
Well, that, I think
that's what we do, though.
Well, no, and since we're talking about like that, it's like I'm very clear and okay with having clear conversations, right? I want to be super blunt, super real, and just know everything we're doing so we understand it, right? And if you can do that, then you will find that you're going to be successful through with your team because you're going to say, "Well, this is how we can bring to you. This is how we bring to you." And then the first time we might not do it, but the second time we, oh, there it goes. And now we teach that person that, hey, this is why we're doing it. And then it just becomes this huge chain of custody.
Transparency.
It's a chain of custody of just all the different companies working together. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
We, you know, it's just who does it better with each other. And then you start to build those, you know, alliances and realize that, hey, we really have something here.
Yeah.
This is working. You know?
Well, we all, I mean, everyone has the same mission, right? Like everyone... I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone out there in this industry that doesn't agree that it has medicinal effects.
Yeah.
So like, why is not everyone on board with getting this thing across the goal line and with the mechanism of using guys who have the ear of Congress to do such?
Yeah.
You know, it blows my mind. I've been out here for a month. I've been like, you know, of an outside perspective going into dispensaries, watching them, like how they run their operations and the Battle Brothers and everything else. And I'm like, It's just wild to me that everyone's not on board with this thing. And, you know, obviously that's our goal here is to get more people aware and more people moving towards the goal line.
It takes a bigger thinker, right? I think than some of the, you know, and I say there's a lot of fast food people in this industry. They're here to eat really fast and get fat, you know, versus people that are going to just kind of sit back and dine for the whole time.
Yeah.
And
that's well said.
There's just a lot of people coming in. But they see something, they just want to eat it up and it's gobble. And it's like, oh, okay, keep doing that, you know, because you're going to get fat. You're going to air out, but we're going to stay real consistent and go. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I watch it all the time and I'm like, damn, you know, let me go back 12, 15 years. I don't see half the people. And I think I know, you know, maybe like, I don't know, there's a good handful, but still the people around. But I mean, you know, you've seen all the faces that we've seen coming in and out of this that are so fast food. They come in with a great story. They got a pocket full of money. They're spending it everywhere. They're building this, building that. And it's just like, cool. That's fast food shit. It doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, slow money's for show money.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to fucking work. Just be slow. Be patient. Don't make stupid decisions.
Yeah. Be persistent.
Don't steal. Don't do all the stupid shit that, you
exactly.
know. Don't let you, and just be honest, you know. It's not that hard to be honest with people. And I think that people get confused and they think that business is about lying and fucking creating up bullshit to make them look better instead of just fucking, no, this is like what we can do. This is what we are doing. This is how we do it. And 90% of people don't ever ask us even what we do. They just be like, oh, you guys got a show?
You so weird.
You guys got a show? You guys got a show? And we're like, yeah, we got a show, but we, you know, we throw festivals. We put on, you know, a magazine. We're
events.
Doing events. Yep. We
host quinceañeras. We host, absolutely.
We create live leads for people. You know, we call it live leads. You know, is we put people in front of people and then we tell them, hey, we put you guys here on purpose.
We put up the nice signs from the HVGC.
Yeah, damn right. That looks good.
So,
you know, Brian, it's so cool to see both Brians working together. And Brian Jacklin, you know, hearing your story and how you won that Navy Cross, one medal behind the Medal of Honor. Just to think of what you did and your captain taking one in the neck and your other buddies getting it and you guys getting them out
fire,
of there alive.
Taking fire
for
off.
You to fucking step up and do that, dude. If there's anything, and Brian already knows this
enemy
too,
fire
we could ever do for you.
Country.
Like, seriously, this is your home,
man. You need a place to stay, bro. I got you.
Like,
yeah.
All bullshit aside. Seriously,
like, come in town. We got trailers.
Like,
we got
love
houses,
vets.
We got
all my dad was in the Army.
Like, yeah, come on through.
We got a camper out here.
Hell
you
yeah.
Mean?
Like, yeah, no.
All
I
bullshit.
Got a fucking house down the street.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I've slept on, like, mud floors in third world countries for most of my career. Like, a camper sounds fantastic.
My backyard is so nice. Oh, man. No, seriously. You guys are
good guys, and I'm excited to see what your guys' mission looks like at the end of this, because, you know, there's no quitting, right?
No.
You're here, right?
Yep. And that's why we support your company. Moving. That's why your company is up on our wall here.
Appreciate that.
Mean?
Hell yeah.
Like, there's
you
a
guys
reason.
Are a real deal.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a reason why I had to convince him to leave it up and put it up before he even met you, and even before he's like, why do you fucking like that guy so much? And I'm like, dude, you got to hear the story, man. This guy's amazing.
Oh, come on, Blue.
What do you mean?
We had to win Blue over.
It was more like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, tell the team what we're doing.
No, I'm like, no, this is the guy. These guys are the guys. They're this. They're our military. They're our government connection. Like, what Brian's, what you're doing, Buckley, is like so truth. And to hear even the other Brian say, like when he first met you, to see an officer be a leader like he was good for me to hear, because I never heard anybody yet, so I was kind of wondering for half a second. I'm only hearing the bullshit he talking.
I did a good vetting on this one.
Before you talk about me, make sure you say I was a good mustache.
Be cool,
star.
Honey bunny. You know.
Hey, Buck.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? Can I call you Buck?
Yeah, absolutely, Blue.
I like that, man. You know, I'll tell you what, dude, I think you're a fantastic man, dude. I appreciate everything you've done for our country as well.
Wow.
You know, you two, you know, have definitely been through those stories and I don't even know
Jack
if that's the
Buck.
Right thing to do. I mean, you know, whatever we can do to help you guys, we're certainly there. And I think what something we might want to talk about is, what does your infrastructure look like, the business plan, in order to bring that capital in? Because those are things that I'm probably, you know, a lot more well-rounded than most people think about me.
Yep.
And I could identify it, bring it in, and create the story, and I think you guys could deliver the product, the goods, you know.
Awesome.
So, you know, let's talk about what that looks like and
try doing
and
a veterans event here with you guys.
Yeah.
I want to do something with.
Yeah, we'll definitely want to do some stuff here for sure.
I want like Brian and Brothers Brian and all that. Something, you know, and I want to get the Hellman
Valley.
Just don't
let Joe organize it.
No, I'm by far the guy that's going to organize it. I'm just going to yap about
it. Oh, we're doing a veterans event.
No. But what I'll do is I'll take all the credit for the organization. I'll say I did it all.
Look what I've accomplished.
Yes, this is my whole work career.
This is my vision. It came to life.
Tell the whole team, though. You got a whole team.
Hey Brian, how much do we need to finish the clinical trials?
About another $300,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about this: like, how many cannabis companies are out there, right? Hundreds. Like, if they came together and every cannabis company said, like, okay, I'm going to donate 3,000. If 100 companies came together and said, I'll give you $3,000.
It's over.
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
And it's going to benefit the entire community.
Everyone's got $3,000 fucking dollars, man.
Well, and here's how we do it, though. We put it, you have to build it in a, so that's exactly what I'm saying, right?
Exactly.
So you tell me that and I go, perfect.
Now we know.
I could have them make it all look beautiful on this side, get it all pretty, and then we can get them having meetings and say, hey, look, we're not going to touch any of the money. We're going to put it into an escrow account until we hit the final amount.
Yeah.
All we're asking is for your donation today, and then we start going down that 100 path, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I could organize that path. That's
nice.
What I got to hear.
Yep.
And then as soon as I see that, I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
And not only that, $300,000, not that bad. I thought it was going to be like $3 million.
I mean, well, you'll get
people.
No,
these aren't bad.
No, it's actually great, because what happens is you know, it's monkey see, monkey do, right? One person goes, you know what, we'll donate $3,000. And then it's like, here's
we'll do 10.
And then all of a sudden it just starts exploding, right?
Yeah,
but there has to be a call to action. There has to be sales guys. Like, you know, I don't see you guys as more sales guys. I think you guys are more action guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, we're gonna kick the fucking door down. We're going in.
Implementers,
right?
Literally.
So, but I come from like a probably a sales, you know, perspective of things, but I look at it from a visual. Like, I can see a done product, you know, but I can't build the fucking product.
Right. Yeah.
I got to call each one of these guys to help me build the product, but I see it done.
Yep.
And this is right up our alley, which we've always been preaching, right?
Yeah.
So Blue and I have always been saying, research, do this, and we can find out what it can, and that's what you guys have been trying to do.
Yep.
And therefore, hearing this, and I know how his mind's already thinking, that's why when you said that number, I'm already feeling my brother going, oh, okay. Now, and I can see how he's going to be able to get the team to round build this.
That.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I could raise that, right?
And
like,
and it goes with what we believe in. Yeah. This is our core belief. Like, our belief is to get the research, to do everything that we want to find out.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. Like, to Brian's point, use us. I can look at people in Congress and said, you sent me to war. Now it's your turn to fix me. And when we get this done, and we will, it's going to benefit the entire community.
Right. As an officer, he could go to these fucking people. I mean, he's having dinner with the president tomorrow, for God's sakes.
Again.
Call up now. 1-800-420-1980.
We're not showing up with like a tie-dye t-shirt and, you know, film canisters in our ears.
Yeah.
You know, we're showing up in suits, and we've got the credibility to back us on this play. And, you know, like you said, it's going to benefit everyone in the community. And, I mean, the VA is the third largest medical provider in the world, if I have my facts straight here. So when they get on board, what happens with the rest of the insurance companies?
Right.
Then they come on board. And now, you know, all these proprietors around all these dispensaries, now your clients can come in with their insurance and pay for their medicine, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, folks listening, God willing, you're still listening and want to donate.
You
call us
donate
up, seriously. But these are this company, HVGC, the Hellman Valley Growers Company, these guys literally can walk into the White House. It's not like, and they don't, and they do, and they go back and forth all the time. Like, I talk to Brian when he's on his way over there, coming back, he's there, he's sending me pictures. Like, we're friends like that now. And I've been in awe with it. And by thinking of this is what we could do, we could really make a change. Like, well, I want to get behind this now.
So again, for me, right, I hear it and I go, yeah, this is probably a lot easier than the rest of you guys think at the table here, you know, but for me, right, and I don't say that disrespectfully.
Sure.
I just go like, we haven't put the right package together in front of the right people.
Yeah.
In order to actually capture it, right?
Yeah.
The package needs to be, you know, put it.
Sure.
You know, together, or else it would already be happening. But like, no, we've already, and you sure you have, I don't know. But I think just getting really good at that message,
yeah,
you know, it's like when we shoot here, like we have all this going on because it gets a good message, right? And everybody takes it in a little better than if I'm just sitting in a room with my boy going, hey, boom, you know, so you're taking the message. So we have to create the message a little, you know. I have to see your plan.
You got
you
it.
Know, I haven't seen it. I'm sure you have a ton of it, you know what I mean? Well, there's no way you don't.
Yep.
But I'd love to see it, and then I'd love to see how we can help raise that with you, and put together a little program that just kind of, you know, it holds people accountable, but super simple, by bringing them in and go, look, having that exact call, we need 100 of you guys, man. You know, we all put in for events every year. We don't need it right this second. Commit to us. Get a payment plan on that. $300 a month,
because we're going to go in this month.
Our goal is to have the money by this time next year. We have the meantime, here's this, you know, comedy show's on us. Let's have some fun tonight and break bread and you know, and then
might be able to make it right then and there. Exactly.
No, we can do a PowerPoint presentation and probably do it in one night. You know,
that's
just
the best part about the officers. They do that shit for a living.
Yeah.
We love our PowerPoints.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to be able to hit those.
Yeah. We dress up Brian Jackson as a wrestler.
Right time. You can't divide. You got like we do it in a group setting, and then we have a heavy message, and then we walk out, and then they know why they're there, you know, and then they say, yeah, that's a good decision, I want to do it. Our whole team's moving on it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like kind of like our events, you know, when we're doing an event, we just did it.
Yeah.
You know, I said, hey, wait for this, you know, because we're basically saying, hey guys, we're doing this golf tournament. It's going down, and we want your support on it, because that's what we're all doing.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing it together, right? And that's
how we're helping the gridiron greats.
There's a charity behind it, you know, and it helps people that have, you know, injuries to their brain. So
yeah, we're literally helping folks. Like you're helping folks.
I'm excited. We gotta put some time.
Oh, we'll get together.
And I like your new addition right here. You know what I mean? Like,
he's all right.
You know, I don't know.
For a big, you know, oversized gorilla.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, for crying out loud,
6'4", 6'5", big old. Well, you know, guys that can break down doors and climb up trees. You know, whatever.
The problem is, I was born in the wrong century. I was built to pull plow carts. There's just no more plow carts.
Yeah, right.
Can I just share the one story? I don't know why it just came to me. So we're doing like our advanced medical treatment stuff, and like, I don't know, we're just doing all this crazy stuff, and Brian got picked to be like some, I don't know, like an example or whatever. Remember you had to like take off your blouse? It just got like really quiet. You're sitting there like topless. And we're all just sitting there looking at it. Goes,
take
like,
it in, boys.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so there I was, and this chick was sucking on my nipples. And that's where everyone died. Like, it was just one of those. Sorry, anyway, that came to my head.
Every time there's medical play, like, you know, you take casualties in simulation to see what the guys are going to do. They got to, like, treat them a certain way. They got to evac them to a helicopter, so on and so forth. Who do they choose? They choose the big guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, I was in the back of the stack. There's no way I got shot. Like,
we got to carry this guy around.
I was like, don't care, you're down anyways. Like, all right, well, I guess I'll just like hang out, just lay on the ground until someone fixes
it. So we all got to pick this dude up and do like the Medal of Honor run with him. Like, oh, you fat ass.
Oh, there's three or four, there's five of you guys trying to hold
it. Like, how many beers you have this weekend, Christ, you know?
Too many.
Lay off it. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, man.
Anything you guys want to say before we get on out of here?
No, I think we said it all. Again, like, help us out, BattleBrothersFoundation.org, and anyone out there who's interested in Hellman Valley, again, 100% of our profits goes back to fund our research. So join the fight with us, and let's do some great things together. So yeah. Can't thank you guys enough for everything you're doing for us.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Thank you guys.
If you're a dispensary out there, pick these guys up. It's good stuff. They use only the best products and gear. I mean, the same value that they put, that we all put in the military. It's not a fly by night. They value. They take only land based strains. They take, you know, they take extreme care that it actually has medicinal purposes. And it's not in the flashiest of boxes, but it, you know,
everyone, does the right thing.
I've talked to numerous people over the last month. They all love it.
I like the earth tone boxes. I think they're flashy. Yeah. They look like military. I don't know. I think they have the earth
tone.
Kind
of weird, right?
It is. Earth tone, and it's dope to me.
Yeah. Nice, man.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.